last few weeks at Edgewood, we have been in the midst of our fall stewardship campaign. And we've been invited to reflect on all the important ministries our church does and what it takes to make those ministries happen. We've specifically been talking about our vision for the year 2020 and the next decade, and what kinds of resources we'll need to sustain and grow that vision. So we've named things like funding our faith community nurse and investing in our children and youth programs, those low-hanging fruit. And those are important, and I hope everyone will prayerfully consider making a pledge, if you're able to, towards Edgewood in this next year, and bring those cards with you next Sunday. But I think it's also important to say that there are aspects of Edgewood United Church and what makes it so special that can't be quantified in staff hours or salaries or hours spent in volunteer service or how many kids we teach each week in church school. It stretches far beyond any kind of campaign we might have. Because we are first and foremost drawn here because of our connection to God. At our foundation, each of us is here because we yearn to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we live that out in our daily lives by following the ministry of Jesus, by committing to justice and peace in all that we do. And we lean into this yearning and connection in our most painful and grief-filled moments, by reminding each other that through Christ's life and love, death will always be conquered. So we come here and we don't always have the right language to describe these beliefs and feelings, but we come yearning for connection with God, with community, with creation. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, of which we read a short excerpt together, reminds us of the shared faith. This letter is to the church in Ephesus. It's an early Christian church, but they are also one of the first generations of church folks that didn't personally know Jesus in the flesh, so they're struggling with how they're supposed to follow him, both as a community and as individuals. The next chapters of Ephesians are full of wisdom, admonitions, instructions for how the church should be the church. They're told how to get along with each other. They're told how to live an upright and proper lifestyle. They're chastised for their shortcomings and are given arguments in attempts to inspire them to rise above it and strengthen their faith community. Basically, if there is an opinion to be shared, Paul makes sure to share it in this letter. Before that all begins, he starts by laying a foundation of gratitude and devotion to God through Christ. He reminds this church that in all their imperfections and questions and hesitations, they are still blessed by God, and that they have been called for a particular purpose. He reminds the church that Christ's power is glorious, and that by following Christ, they are following someone who is above and beyond any worldly power or politician. The way they are connected through faith surpasses rules and authorities and power and dominion of even the most powerful and fearsome of rulers, not just in their time, but for all the time to come. So for us, we can read that and take courage that even today, if the most corrupt or incompetent or hateful of humans is in power somewhere, Christ's liberating love is still more powerful. This foundation is an important reminder for me today as we envision the future of our church and as we constantly orient new folks to our community. At Edgewood, we start with God. We start with connection. And from there, all other things flow. To me, this explains why the heart of our church is the sanctuary. This space was painstakingly and beautifully designed by our church founders. Its sole purpose is to provide a place for the community to gather, connect, and give praise to God. There's no kitchen in this part of the church. There's no resource room or business conference room. It's designed for worship. We sit here together in the round so that no one person in front is the focus of everyone's attention. I can easily say, look over there, and everyone can look over there. This is not a sanctuary where you can hide. No matter where you sit, you're a part of the larger community. You will inevitably make awkward eye contact with someone across the sanctuary from you, reminding you that you're not alone, that you are a part of things. And this is our gathering place. This is where each week we reconnect. We lift up our heartaches and joys. We sing. We sit in silence, all while trying to listen to where God is calling us in this time and place. So where Paul uses words to express his devotion to God, we use our worship, our movements, our bodies, our voices, and the sacred space to express those same things. Like the early church in Ephesus, we begin with our connection or longing for connection with God, and from there flows community. Now, I love that in Paul's letter, he describes the people who make up the church community as saints. He uses this word liberally. He's not just talking about people who've died, but he includes everyone, every single one of us. Whoever is working on behalf of Christ's love and justice, even if it's imperfect, even if you're tired, you are included in the cast of saints. This title is a marker of faith and hope, an inheritance through Christ's grace, not a title you have to jump through hoops to earn. And in this way, Paul sets apart the members of the church and helps them to claim their unique role as members of their faith community. He reminds them that every person is capable of impacting the others around them and making a difference, both in their church and in ministry on behalf of their church. He's reminding them, we don't have to wait until we're dead to make a difference. And it's this that I think is so important to remember when we talk about the value of the church and what it takes to build the church. We can never fully understand the richness or impact each person that walks into this sanctuary has on our faith community, or the way that it is different when they're gone. This is true for the person who visits Edgewood once, but ultimately decides this is not going to be their church home. We'll never fully know the impact of a conversation they might have had, or the way they boosted someone who saw them from afar and recognized something of themselves in their fashion or in their age or the way they carried themselves. That one-time visitor is a saint of the church. This is true for the person who comes on Sunday mornings faithfully but doesn't have the time to participate in other aspects of the church, or who keeps a distance because of shyness or hesitation about where they might fit in. The voice they add to worship, the comfort they offer in sitting by someone, the prayers they quietly lift up on behalf of others transforms the spirit of this place. The faithful Sunday worshiper is a saint of the church. The ones who bring their children as often as possible but find that dance competitions and basketball tournaments and plain exhaustion on Sunday morning keep them away more than they like are saints of the church, both the parents and the children. Because when they are here, their family fills the space with joy, laughter, energy, and unpredictable Holy Spirit awesomeness. It's a theological term. And when they are away, the community stays connected through prayers and hopes of wellness and peace for these families, for these saints. And our folks who come alone, because they are single, because they are divorced, because they are widowed, because they have a partner with a different religion or no religion at all, because they like coming alone and being a part of something big and holy, of reminding each other that we're all here as one person, one small part of the whole. These are the ones who are quick to smile at someone sitting by themselves, who form fast, deep friendships with the people around them, and who are involved in every ministry in every corner of the church. These too are the saints of the church. When we talk about the saints of the church, it extends beyond budgets and supply lists and electric bills and campaigns. You all, you saints, are the ones who build the bridge from earth to heaven each week, drawing our community closer to the kingdom of God with your presence, with your service, and with your faith. It can't be quantified. It can't be captured in a letter or even in this sermon, but it's what makes this place so special. Church often feels like a miracle to me. The fact that we are all from different backgrounds and ages and beliefs, we come together and somehow we find something in common. We don't live in the same neighborhood. We don't shop at the same stores or eat at the same restaurants. We don't all vote the same way. The only thing we have in common is a yearning for connection with God and with community. And from there, everything flows and fits and forms into something wonderful. From our common longing for connection, we do advocacy work. We provide education experiences. We eat together and feed our neighbors. And then we make vegan and vegetarian and gluten-free and nut-free and dairy-free options so that everyone can sit at the table together. We laugh and we cry. We visit each other and show up in more ways than we can count. We do the work of being saints, imperfectly, figuring it out as we go along, trusting that in the mistakes will be a foundation of love and forgiveness. We're a faith community. This is our inheritance. It began with Christ's example of radical, life-changing love. And it's been passed on through the generations. It has moved from church to church, sometimes taking new forms or reshaping to meet a particular community. 66 years ago, it took root in this little corner of East Lansing through our founders. And all of us who are gathered here today, or who have Edgewood in their heart, are recipients of that inheritance. Ours is a ministry of connection with God at the heart of all we do, a ministry of connection with community. So on this All Saints Day, I am thankful for every saint that came before us and every saint that is still living, knowing we wouldn't be the church, we wouldn't be this church without each one of you. Amen.